Right. Well, by your request, I believe we look at First Thessalonians, which will be chapter 1 tonight. First Thessalonians chapter 1. The background of this is in Acts chapter 17. If you'd like to go there first, please go to Acts 17, just a few verses. Acts 17, Paul's ministry at Thessalonica, brief as it was. Acts 17 and the first four verses. Then we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and look at that tonight, which I believe is your request. Acts 17 and verse 1. Now, when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them, and for 3 Sabbaths, 3 weeks, he reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, "This Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ." Some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks, and then a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. So Paul and his colleagues were in Thessalonica for 3 weeks. But when we get into the second letter, if you want to go there, we find that Paul gave them some very deep teaching on things in the future. Now let's look at chapter 1 of Thessalonians. Chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians. I'll read the 10 verses, only 10 verses. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1 to 10. Paul, Silas, and Timothy to the church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of our God our Father. Knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, for our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit, and as much assurance, as you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith towards God has gone out, so that we do not need to say anything. For they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now, the background, of course, is in Acts 17, where Paul was there for 3 weeks, 3 Sabbaths, speaking to Jewish people and the Greeks. Now, I notice, look at the character of these Christians in verse 3. The character of these Christians. Work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus in the sight of God our Father. In other words, looking for the certainty of the Lord Jesus Christ coming again. Now, clearly you can see in this that here is the election mentioned in these verses. Verse 4, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God, God's choice of them. And they were very receptive to the witness of the word of God and the gospel. And they received the gospel and the Christian life with great joy in times of affliction. You can see that in there also, that they had much affliction in that time where they were in Thessalonica. It's difficult being a believer in that area. And these turned to God from idolatry. Now notice, let's look in one important verse, in verse 10. We go back to the earlier verses in a moment. In verse 10, you can see this, that these believers, like all of us, are to wait for his Son from heaven. He's coming for the church. whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. We shall not enter into the great tribulation. So there it is. They were to wait for the coming of the Lord for the true church. And the word there in the Greek is to wait up. Wait up as if you were expecting him. Now, if you have a visitor coming to your home and they're a little bit late, shall we say, you wait up for them if it's at night, ready for them to come. Now, in that sense, in this sense, waiting for the Lord to come and be alert, waiting up, ready expecting them to come like expecting your visitor. Waiting up, that's the meaning of the word. And here you find, once again, in verse 10, wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now here is the certainty of the resurrection of Jesus. And these believers, like ourselves, were delivered from death and destruction, from the lake of fire. And as a response, they realized how they'd been saved and what they were saved from. And these Christians, you can see their description of the life in verse 3 again. Work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope, meaning patient waiting for the Lord to come. That's what it means. And there's their character straight away. They believed the Lord, they were saved, and they served the Lord in the sight of our God and Father and the Lord Jesus, his Son. So all these, what a wonderful example these believers must have been. And notice, from Acts 17, the Apostle Paul was only 3 weeks in Thessalonica. But he taught some deep things, indeed Bible prophecy, if we get to the second letter, it's there too. And these Christians were so grateful. They were delivered from death, delivered from Satan, delivered from the wrath, delivered from the lake of fire. Wonderful. And as a response, these Christians were reliable and they were devoted to the Lord. It's a challenge to us about our service, work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in the Lord's coming, reliable, devoted to the Lord. And Paul loved these Christians for their Christian character and their love for the Lord Jesus, and no doubt Paul too. So, you know, it's easy to love others when they love us. It's more difficult to love people who are, should we say, unlovely, even fellow Christians. I'm afraid it happens. So there it is. These Christians had grown in the Lord with faith and love, even in times of persecution. We don't get much of that here. But you can see in verse 2, we give thanks to God always for you. They were thankful for these dear Christians growing in the Lord, making progress as well. And they prayed for these Christians very regularly. So that's important to notice that. And there's a reference to, of course, in verse 3, it wasn't only in the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ that they were faithful, but in the sight of their heavenly Father as well. We have a Father in heaven. We're sons and daughters of his. And notice that here we have in verse 5, our gospel did not come to you in word only. It's not enough to have a word that we speak. We need the work of the Holy Spirit, taking up what we say in much assurance, confidence in what we believe and what we share with others. And that's what Paul and Silas and Timothy were doing. And that's what these dear believers did. With the example of Paul, Silas and Timothy, they took this up as well. So this is very important. Now notice this word, labor of love. Notice that, would you? In verse 3, labor of love. In other words, it was hard work. Now the word labor there in the Greek means fatiguing work. A serving of the Lord which cost them energy. It wore them out physically, fatigued them. It was costly. And we know very well that the sending out of the gospel, like Paul and his friends did, and these dear Christians in Thessalonica, their word and their gospel had gone out over a wide area. You can see that in the following verses. And look in verse 7, for example. You became examples in all Macedonia and Achaia who believe. Verse 8, for from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but in every place. Their word of testimony had gone from place to place to place to place. They were gossiping the gospel, if you like to put it that way. So that was very wonderful. This was happening. So the labor of love there, it was a fatiguing work. It cost them something to witness for the Lord Jesus. Now, you can see in verse 3, for example, their patience of hope. Now, during this time, these dear believers, with faith, hope, love, and patience, and serving the Lord, they had difficulties in their Christian life. They had opposition, they had persecution, and they knew what it was like. But they wanted to share the gospel. It cost them fatiguing work to share the gospel. They had opposition, they had enemies, they were being persecuted. Labor of love. Now, would you go back with me for a moment, back to Romans chapter 10. Go back to Romans 10, would you please? Romans chapter 10. And I want you to look at verse 8 through to 13. Romans chapter 8. Sorry, chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. And verses 8 to 13 and verse 17. Let's read them. Romans chapter 8. Sorry, chapter 10. What am I saying? Chapter 10 and verses 8 through to 13 to begin with. Romans 10, verse 8. Talking about the word, what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. Has to be in the heart before it gets to the mouth in witness. That is the word of faith which we preach. Verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes to righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek or Gentile. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's wonderful, isn't it? Now down to verse 17. 17. So they were witnessing the gospel, putting their energy into it, getting exhausted to it as well. In verse 17, we know that faith comes by hearing, and the hearing by the word of God. We must declare the word of God, salvation in the scriptures to those around us in witness, and it's hard work at times. We get opposition and difficulties. We certainly do. So these dear Christians, going back to Thessalonica, going back to 1 Thessalonians again, there was a labor of love. And it was because of the sacrificial love of Jesus for them at the cross in saving them. They were so grateful that they knew it would cost something to be a witness in times of opposition and persecution. But they pressed on. A labor of fatiguing work and sending out the gospel is the greatest work of love there is. The sending out of the gospel is the greatest work of love there is. So these dear Christians, there were patience in the hope of the second coming of the Lord, yes. But in the meantime, they were enduring trial. And as verse 10 says, they were waiting up for his son, the meaning of the Greek. Not only to wait, but to wait up, as if they really were expecting him to come in their generation, as we do in ours. Now, patience of hope, enduring under trial, waiting for the Lord to come. Now look back with me, or forward if you're in 1 Thessalonians now. Go into chapter 2 for a verse. In chapter 2, please, of 1 Thessalonians. And look at verse 14. Verse 14. In chapter 2. For you, brethren, became imitators of the churches of God. They wanted to be like other faithful believers, which are in Judea in Christ Jesus in Israel. For you also suffered the same things from your own countrymen and other Gentiles, just as they did from the Jews. They were enduring trial and persecution here. No question about that. So they were enduring quite a lot. Go back to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 1 again with me and see the parallel in verse 6. Chapter 1, verse 6. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy. How about that? To receive the word with joy, with enduring affliction, persecution, opposition, and difficulty. With joy of the Holy Spirit, one of his fruits, love, joy, peace, and so on. The fruits of the Spirit of God working in us as well as them. So that was very important. Would you go back to Romans again, please? Back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, please. And look at verse 24. Romans 8 and verse 24, please. Romans 8, 24. For you were saved in this hope. It's a hope of the Lord's coming. But hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, verse 25, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We have a certain hope of the coming of the Lord for us. Whenever that should be, every age, every generation had a hope in the coming of the Lord, and we're much nearer now than they were. As is, we were saved in the hope of the Lord coming for the true church. Very important, Romans 8, 24. And the hope there, of course, is obviously what we don't yet see. We don't yet see the Lord coming for the church, but we wait. We have hope, certain hope, the Lord is coming for a completed church. When? We don't know. Maybe in our day? We don't know. So that's all very important, isn't it? Now, we've got in 1 Thessalonians, go to there once again, please. If you look in verse 4, just to make a comment on this, of 1 Thessalonians 1 and verse 4, knowing, beloved brethren, your election by God. Now, this is God's own personal choice individually and his choice of us for salvation. Now, would you go back to Romans 16 with me? We're dashing around a bit, aren't we? Romans 16. Go back there, please. Romans chapter 16, and look in verse 13. Romans 16 and verse 13. Notice here, there's one reference to one man, Rufus. Romans 16, verse 13. Just to comment on it. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. Chosen in the Lord. Oh, there you are. That's having it there, isn't it? And they were beloved by the Lord. Would you go back with me now before this to John's Gospel? John's Gospel, chapter 14. John chapter 14. And what does the Lord Jesus say to us in his own words? John 14. Look in verse 21. John 14, verse 21. He who has my commandments, that's not the Ten Commandments, and keeps them is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. And I will love him and manifest myself to him. The love there is to love the Lord and to love one another. Simple two commands. That's what it is. Verse 23, Jesus answered his disciples and said, and Judas Iscariot there, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. That's a sign of our love for Jesus, keeping the word and believing it. And my Father will love him. And we will come to him and make our home with him. Because we love him, Father and Son come and indwell our lives with the Holy Spirit. In other words, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are indwelt by Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. What an amazing truth that is, isn't it? Amazing. Look in verse 27, John 14, verse 27. We looked at verse 21 and 23. Now let's look at verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He gives us his peace. What? Peace of God? Because all is well between us and him, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And peace with God, peace of God indwelling us. Peace with him, right relationship. Peace of his gift of peace within our lives. Very wonderful that is. Now back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Chapter 1 verse 5. Sorry, chapter 1 verse 5. I'm getting ahead of myself. Chapter 1 verse 5. For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power. It must be, you see. And in the Holy Spirit. And in much assurance. As you know what kind of men we were among you for your sake. The gospel must go forward in the power of the Holy Spirit with much assurance, much proof, much evidence. That's important. And this showed up in the lives of Paul, Silas, and Timothy towards these dear believers in Thessalonica. Remember, Paul had only been with them for 3 weeks, three Sabbaths preaching. Then he had to leave them. The wonderful thing is, of course, that we understand in the scriptures, all that the Lord Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. We're all very grateful for salvation. It cost the Lord Jesus so much to buy us back. He did this for you and I. And the Holy Spirit will witness that to us continually. And this is a wonderful truth. So the gospel came forward in power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, that the preaching of the gospel will be like this today. So important. And these believers had that assurance. Now, the word assurance there also means liberty of the mind. Freedom. Sure. Definite. In their understanding of their salvation. No doubt about it, whatever. And that word or phrase, liberty of mind, is not in the New Testament. I'm giving you the translation of a Greek word. And the Greek word is plerophoria. Plerophoria. And it means a working to produce a liberty of the mind. You and I have the liberty of the mind as believers. Unsaved people don't have the liberty of the mind. We're free to know Christ. Jesus said, I'll make you free indeed. And so we are. We have a liberty, a freedom in our minds to love the Lord, to serve the Lord, to fellowship with him, fellowship with one another. What a privilege we have as dear believers in that sense. Now, when we sum all this up in verse 10, look in verse 10. We wait or wait up for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. And you find there, he delivers us from the wrath to come. Now, the wrath is not hell. That's eternal. The wrath is the seven-year period of the Great Tribulation. You and I in the church are delivered from that. So, in other words, a pre-tribulation rapture and resurrection of the true church is coming. No doubt about that. We're delivered from the wrath. I say the wrath is not hell. That's eternal. Wrath is seven-year period, as in the book of Revelation. No doubt about that. We have a liberty of mind. We know where we're going. We know we're saved. We have absolute assurance and a liberty of mind as well. Isn't that wonderful? We're free to know that. That's wonderful, isn't it? Will you go back, please, to Romans again, chapter 5 and verse 9? Romans chapter 5 and verse 9, please. Romans 5 and verse 9. This is the same thing. Romans 5 and verse 9. Having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. There it is. Saved by his blood, saved from wrath. That 7-year great tribulation period because of him and what he's done for us. Wonderful that is, isn't it? How very wonderful. So we're there delivered from the wrath to come. We shall not see that awful time. So here's the godly example of the Apostle Paul and his colleagues. And they were a very fine example to these Christians. And the Holy Spirit, by his power, helped these believers in Thessalonica, or helped the Thessalonians, to believe the gospel. We need the Holy Spirit. It's not by human persuasion at all. It's by Holy Spirit conviction. This is what is needed. And it comes as a result of much prayer. The Apostle Paul and his friends were praying for them. Look in verse 2 of 1 Thessalonians back there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 2. Go back there. We give thanks to God always for you, or making mention of you in our prayers. The Apostle Paul remembered he was with them only 3 weeks. He hardly knew them by name. Then he had to leave. But he remembers them now in prayer and in love for them. They were a really godly example, of course, to these dear people. Would you find 2 Corinthians? We'd like to look around the scriptures and link things up now and again. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Would you find that, please? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm hurrying on a bit, I know. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and look at verse 15. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 15. This is what the Apostle Paul testified. I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Right into the Corinthians. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. He didn't have an easy time with these Corinthian Christians. They come out of paganism, out of idolatry, out of immorality. And they're bringing some of it into the church. And Paul had a hard time. But he said, I'll gladly be spent for you. Even so. For your soul, so the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved by you. Ooh. But he pressed on. He knew the constraining work of the Holy Spirit enabled him to witness in these truths. And the Holy Spirit's power helped these believers in their Christian life. Looking back to 1 Thessalonians again in verse 2, Paul said, I make mention of you in my prayers for you all, he says. And then he says, I remember you. I remember your work of faith. I remember your labor of love, your patience of hope in the soon coming of the Lord, as he believed. They continued in their faith, in their growth as Christians, and their serving for the Lord, working with the Lord, as we are called to do, working with the Lord, and they received the word with joy in troublesome times. Now that's later on in the verses of Acts 17. 5-9, when the population gave them a hard time. Now look in verse 6. We press on quickly. In verse 6 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6. You became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. They were followers, yes, of the Apostle Paul's example and witness. And if you like, they're imitators of him in the authorized followers in New King James, and they were followers of the Lord, and they wanted to follow the way in which the Apostle Paul lived and served and preached as well. And they were progressing in their Christian life and in their serving. They wanted to follow on to know the Lord better and to walk with the Lord in their Christian life. They were growing, and Paul was very confident in them. They received the word. They allowed the word of God to grow in their understanding of it with the help of the Holy Spirit, without any doubt. Now, while you're in 1 Thessalonians, would you go on to chapter 3, just for a moment? 1 Thessalonians, chapter 3, please. Look in verses 2 and 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. And Paul wanted to know how they were getting on. And so he sent Timothy, our brother, minister of God, chapter 3, verse 2, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to encourage you concerning your faith, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions. They're having a hard time. For you yourselves know that we are appointed to this, appointed to hard times. In affliction, and so Paul sent his understudy, son in the faith, Timothy, to encourage, to teach, to build up, to strengthen, and to encourage these dear young Christians, as they were. They should be shaken by all the troubles they were being afflicted by, perhaps from Roman persecution, as well as the citizens of that city as well. Now, the work of the Holy Spirit is to give us joy. John 16:33, I won't turn to it now. But if you look back in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, and look in verse 7 now. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, go back there a page to verse 7. You became examples to all in Macedonia and Achaia who believe, and also in other places too, in verse 8. They are quite a witness, and that's glorious. They are a witness in their conduct, witness their behavior there, witness in their speaking for the word of God. Now, I want to look up several places in the New Testament now, in these letters, if you will. We'll take them in order. They wanted to follow the example of Jesus' own life of faithfulness, obedience to his Father's will. Unquestionably, come what may, and we know his suffering. So Jesus was an example to these believers, as Paul explained, and Paul and his friends were examples to these believers, and these believers became an example to many people around them in other parts of their country that they were. Now, in the light of that, look in verse 8 of 1 Thessalonians 1. For from you the word of the Lord has sounded forth, like blowing a trumpet. Not only Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith towards God has gone out, so that we don't need to say anything. You've said it all. We don't need to back you up. What you said, what you've been preaching, is so absolutely true. Now, let's go in order, but go back to Philippians, please, with me, would you? Back to Philippians, and we want chapter 3. Chapter 3 of Philippians. Let you find it. Chapter 3 of Philippians. And look in verse 17. Paul was urging them to walk with the Lord in harmony, faithful service, and life. Philippians 3:17. Brethren, you in fellow following my example, Paul's example, and note those who so walk as you have for us as a pattern. Notice what the Christians are going through their lives as well. Take a note, he says. And you have us for a pattern where we should be living godly in Christ Jesus, faithful in being a Christian, faithful in serving the Lord. That's the first one. Now go on to the first letter of Paul to Timothy, please. 1 Timothy, chapter 4, and verse 12. 1 Timothy, chapter 4, and verse 12. Timothy was his, if you like, an understudy for the Apostle Paul, a young man. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Well, that speaks to us all. What? A young man? Be an example, he says, in what you say, where you live, in your Christian love, in the spirit, in faith, and in your purity of life amidst a pagan society. I was a young man whom Paul trusted and sent him out to different churches. Very wonderful, isn't it? Go to Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And look at verse 7. Titus chapter 2 and verse 7. He exhorts the young man to be sober thinking in verse 6, serious minded. 7. In all things, showing yourself to be a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing integrity, reverence, and incorruptibility. No one could swallow their lives. Be pure. Wow. Pattern of good works, true doctrine, reverence towards the Lord, and you could be corrupted. They were pure in their life. Wow. That's something, isn't it? Now go on to 1 Peter now, last one. 1 Peter, please. Chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And look at the second part of verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 5. I'll let you find it. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3. Second part of the verse is really what we want. Second part of verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 3, second part. Be examples to the flock. He's saying this, of course, to the under-shepherds, the pastors, the elders, the leaders. But we say that to you and me as well. Be an example to other believers around you. Very important there. Now, right, let's go back to where we were, please. Go back to 1 Thessalonians. And look at verse 8. 1 Thessalonians verse 8. We'll come to a conclusion in a moment. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. From you the word of the Lord has sounded forth. Sounded forth. Like a herald blowing a very loud trumpet, wanting people to hear an announcement, like a herald blowing his trumpet, and he got an announcement to make to his town, town crier, if you like. He's got something to say. Sound it out. You and I are called to sound out the word of God. And the word there means an echoing around, reverberating all around us, echoing around, reverberating the message of the gospel all around us. Now, you've got there the word of the Lord in this section of scripture. From you sounded out the word of the Lord in verse 8. Sounded forth, blowing the trumpet, sounding it out, heralding it out, being a herald to the truth of the gospel. And that phrase, word of the Lord, occurs over 200 times in the Old Testament. Word of the Lord came, the word of the Lord came, over 200 times. The Lord wanted to communicate with his people. The Lord wants to communicate to you and I, for we are his people. And the word of the Lord comes to us as we read the scriptures. And the word of the Lord reveals the will of the Lord and reveals, as it were, through the word. And he gives us revelation. The word of the Lord gives revelation of the will of God through the word of God. I'd like, if you will, please, to go back, way back into the Old Testament, to one verse, important verse, Isaiah 38. I'll let you find it. Isaiah 38 and verse 4. Isaiah 38, let you find it, and verse 4. Chapter 38 and verse 4 of Isaiah. Here's one of the many times of the 200 in the Old Testament. Then the word of the Lord came to Isaiah, and was instructed to go to King Hezekiah with a message from the Lord. A message of the Lord that the Lord had heard the prayer of Hezekiah. He saw his tears and was going to give him 15 extra years of life. He was a sick king. The word of the Lord came to Isaiah, and he passed on the word of the Lord specifically for King Hezekiah in his circumstances. The word of the Lord over 200 times in the Old Testament, and this is just one of them. Now, just to conclude, let's go back to where we were, please, in 1 Thessalonians. Just be very quick on this one. You need to turn to it because you know. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15, there's a revelation of the rapture of the true church. And the word of the Lord is the message through the Apostle Paul, delivered with authority, made effective by the power of the Holy Spirit, and it became an effective witness. And we look at it today, the promise of the rapture and the resurrection of the church. It's been believed right through the whole of the church age. And it became an effective witness. Now, would you go back to, we come to an end, back to Romans, please. Spending a bit longer on this, I suppose, tonight. In Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1, look at verses 3 and 4. Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Paul had been speaking the gospel out, verse 1. And that was promised through the scriptures and the prophets, verse 2. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David, according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power. Jesus has declared, the Father declared, this is my son, in whom I'm well pleased. According to the power of the Spirit. According to the Spirit of holiness, that's the Holy Spirit, by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ proved his deity. Death could not hold him. He died for our sins, but he's raised again for our justification and righteousness. Wonderful that, isn't it? That's very important. Faith has gone out from the Zero Thessalonian Christians effectively. And one thing about this place, Thessalonica, geographically, it was a seaport, and it became an excellent missionary center as a seaport. And the faith had spread out there far and wide, and their witness was so obvious. Their word has gone out from place to place. Now, just to finish off, look back in 1 Thessalonians, and look at verse 9. We finish in verse 9. The word has gone out, as you can see in verse 7 and 8, Macedonia, Achaia, all over the place. Verse 9, for they themselves declare concerning us what manner of entry we had to you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and wait for his son from heaven. They turned from idolatry, paganism, and very much a pagan area, and they turned to the Lord from their idolatry. And they knew the witness and life example of the Apostle Paul and his friends, and that did a lot to persuade them as well. Wonderful. Now, just as we, the entrance of the gospel came to them through the witness of the Apostle Paul, the preaching of the gospel, entrance of the gospel, an open door came through to them. And you needn't turn to Hebrews 10:19, but the Greek there is isodos, which means the entrance of the believer into God's presence. That's why verse 10 says, wait for his son from heaven. The word there, isodos, simply means the final entrance of the believer into God's presence. Wonderful. That is, and while we're there, we'll wait expectantly for the coming of the Lord in verse 10 as we close. They had an expectation. They had a perseverance. They pressed on. And just to finish off, would you go back to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. The believers in Thessalonica were waiting and hoping even their day for the Lord to come. We still do. But in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20, and I close now. Philippians 3 verse 20. Read on to chapter 4 verse 1. Our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to even subdue all things to himself. Therefore, or because of all this, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. Our citizenship is in heaven, our way of life. We wait for the Lord to come, verse 20. He's going to change our lowly, fallen body, give us a new glorious body, his powerful work in us to do it. And therefore he says, my beloved and longed for brethren, because of all that, and you know what's true? Be grateful to the Lord, he says. Stand fast in the Lord. Now I close with this. The promise of the Lord's coming is in every chapter of these two letters by Paul to the Thessalonian Christians. Chapter 1:10, if you want to jot it down, you can jot it down. Chapter 1:10, chapter 2:19, chapter 3:13, chapter 4:15, chapter 5:23. I'll mention them again. In 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, 7 and 8, chapter 2, verse 1, and chapter 3, verse 5. The promise of the coming of the Lord in every chapter, five chapters in the first letter, three chapters in the second letter. Chapter 1, verse 10, we read. Chapter 2, 19. Chapter 3, 13. Chapter 4, 15, the rapture. Chapter 5, 23. 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8. Chapter 2, verse 1, and chapter 3, verse 5. So, that's it. They were sounding out the message of salvation. Sounding it out, they were serving. Sounding out in sanctified lives and so on. And they waited the coming of the Lord for them. So we trust that maybe just, I rushed through today, there's a lot to say, but I did rush through. Hope that something was a blessing to you in that, and the Lord will minister the truth to you. It is recorded, as Robert has recorded this. If you want this to go through in slower time, there it is. I have missed out some things, but time is getting on. It's 10 minutes to 8. Thank you, Robert.